So a little prayer, well done.
Both boys, you've done so well. May God, Oliver, who has received you by baptism into his church, pour upon you the riches of his grace, that within the company of Christ's people, you may daily be renewed by his spirit and come to the inheritance of the saints in glory. Amen. And your name, Oliver, a very special name also, comes from the Latin, which means olive tree. And olive trees are a sign of peace. And so I pray for you that you would be a bringer of peace today and every day in your life, and that you would know the God of all peace surrounding you, protecting you every day. Yeah, that's worth a smile. Amen. So we're going to say a prayer together, everybody. Loving God, we welcome these children into our church community, and we pray for everyone here today, and especially those who have made promises as parents and godparents. May we all help these children to grow up as lifelong followers of Jesus within his church. Faithful and loving God, bless those who care for these children and grant them your gifts of love, wisdom, and faith. Particularly pray for Gareth and for Sophie and for Ryan and Jennifer. Pour upon them your healing and reconciling love and protect their homes from all evil. Fill them with the light of your presence and establish them in the joy of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Joshua, Oliver, by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. We welcome you into the fellowship of faith. We are children of the same Heavenly Father. We welcome you. Shall we welcome them in the appropriate fashion? Yay! Okay, Isabel, can I take your candle? Okay, I'm going to light it. Brilliant. Right, so we're now going to get the bats and candles. So what I'm going to do first of all is I'm going to do Oliver's. Now, Oliver's big sister, Isabel, was the first baby that I baptized. Aww. So it's so special now to be baptizing your little brother. And we've just lit Isabel's baptism candle that she received. And you're going to hold that, and then we're going to light Oliver's candle with your candle. Good girl. Well done. So then there's Oliver's candle. Fantastic. Okay, and now we're going to light Joshua's candle. There we go. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has given us a place with the saints in light. You have received the light of Christ. Walk in this light all the days of your life. Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. Wonderful. And now we just have some little things to give both of you. Joshua. So Joshua, this is for you. It's a Bible for toddlers. So you can read all the stories that God teaches us. And inside is also your baptism certificate. And for your godparents, some little cards for them to remember this day. And this is the same for you, Oliver. Here's your Bible for toddlers. Oh, yeah, you want it. Reaching the hand out. And you've got your baptism certificate and the cards for your lovely godparents in there. Okay. Who should I give that to? I'll give that over there. Brilliant. Well, I think we've done all that we need to do here. So what I'm going to suggest now is to blow the candles out. Lovely. And then, godparents, if you'd like to go back to the pews, and parents, if you'd like to walk down your children down the aisle so that everyone can get a good look and another little clap for them as they go.
was enjoying the clap so much, I forgot it was me next. I think there's another little slide that's coming up, just summing up this baptism. It's another Bible verse about identity. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. We are new creations when we discover a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to worship again in a song that involves expanding a few calories, I think, doesn't it?
Indeed, yes. It's Sarah, as good as exercise.
Yeah. Our God is a great big God. Come and show. I mean, people should know the actions by now, but if there are any children who want to join, Charlotte, do you want to help Sarah do the actions? Please stand if you're able.
1, 2, 3, 4. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands.
Our God.
Our God is a great big God.
It's true.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands.
He's higher.
Skyscraper, and He's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams.
And He's known me and He's loved me
since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan.
Our God.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands.
Our God.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands.
He's higher.
He's higher than a skyscraper, and He's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams.
He's known, and He's known me, and He's loved me
since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. A great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands.
And He holds.
And He holds us in His hands. And He holds us in His hands.
Brilliant. Let me say a prayer for our children, young people, as they go to their separate groups. Lord, thank You that You can meet with us, whatever age we are, wherever we are in this part of the building. We pray that Your Spirit would give us joy in Your presence, that our children and young people would have fun learning more about You. Please help their leaders, inspire them, give them Your compassion and wisdom, and pray that they'll all be glad that they've been together and with You today. Amen. So if the children and young people would like to leave at this point.
Thank you.
before our Bible reading, we're going to watch a short video clip, and it's the clip of a talk by the late American Christian author and leader Tim Keller, and he's talking a little bit more about identity.
What's identity? It's a sense of self and a sense of worth. What makes you feel significant? What makes you confident of your value? And if you have a sense of self and a sense of worth, we say you've got a real identity. It's an illusion to say that my identity comes from my inner feelings. People say it all the time. This is who I am. You decide who you are. Benjamin Nugent, in an essay in the New York Times, said this: when good writing was my only goal in life, I made the quality of my work the measure of my worth. And then he said, for this reason, I wasn't able to read my own writing well. I couldn't tell whether something I had just written was good or bad. I needed it for it to be good. In order to feel sane, I lost the ability to cheerfully interrogate how much I liked what I had written, to see what was actually on the page, rather than what I would have liked to have seen or what I feared to see. In other words, when you make anything your identity, when you make a career your identity, or a particular body your identity, or a particular love relationship your identity, those things stop being good things, and they start to crush you. In other words, he wanted to write. That's a good thing. He should have written. But when the writing was his identity, he said, I made the quality of my work the measure of my worth, and I couldn't, to feel sane, I had to look at anything I wrote and said, this is great. So I couldn't actually look at it realistically, and I couldn't certainly hear criticism. It's crushing. It's absolutely crushing. You know the place where C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity says, we're not really proud of having money, we're proud of having more money than the next person. We're not really proud of being smart, we're proud of being smarter. If you are the best violinist in your little town in Texas, and then you go to New York City and you get off at Penn Station and you realize the person who's playing the violin and begging, and people are throwing, you know, money in the violin case, is better than you. And suddenly that high self-esteem you had because you were the best violinist in your town goes down into the toilet. Why? Because ultimately, any identity that's achieved rather than received has to be excluding. In other words, you feel better because these other people aren't as good as you.
Let's have the reading from Leo, and then Steve's going to come and speak.
Morning. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. It's on page 1049 of your Pew Bible. And it's also appear on the screen. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Leo, for the reading, and Jeff for finding that clip from preacher Tim Keller. We're going to delve deeper into this idea of identity this morning. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, may this morning we receive a new identity from you. Lord, today may we know that it's not about what we've achieved, but all that you've given us. Would you come by your Spirit and meet with your children today? Amen.
Amen.
Now, I loved in that clip that we were exposed to what people thought defined them. There was the violinist, wasn't there, and the writer. And they used these words to sum up who they were. Maybe you've got similar words. Whereas, in fact, it was the adjective that went before that noun that was really key. The best violinist. The successful writer. As we explore identity, I'm going to ask you to think, what is it that defines you? You might come up with some helpful nouns. Mum, son, friend, villa fan, accountant, retired. What describes you? But I'm also going to ask you to maybe think about the adjectives that go along with those nouns. I'm going to read out some words now, and I wonder if any of these you might find fit your identity. Some of these might stick. Yes, that's me, even if a little. Others might slide right off. Don't take anything from me that's not for you. There's no judgment here. And these words are quite binary. You might find yourself a bit in between. But just as we begin to think a little bit about identity, let's start easy. Are you chilled or stressed? Are you quick? Or slow? Are you shiny or dulled? Are you pure or dirty? Are you independent or reliant? Are you lacking? Are you enough? Are you lovable? Are you worthless? Are you a delight? Are you a burden? Are you free? Are you enslaved? Well, that's quite a heavy start. Where was the joke or the story? But I wanted to start there because I think most of us don't really think about our identity very much, about what it is that defines us, about who it is that defines us. Because we're all too busy with the day-to-day stuff, with the people to see, the messages to respond to, the shows to catch up on. We miss the truth that our identity is being shaped all the time by what we hear, by what we read and watch, by the pings and the algorithms in our phones, by our families, by our history. And some of those words I've just read out, like independent or quick or free, you might wear like a badge of honor. Successful writer. Others might be a wound attached to your identity that still hurts. Failure. Dirty. Burden. As we come again to explore the Bible story that Leo read for us, you might have heard it before. You might be hearing it for the first time. It's my prayer today that you would hear God speaking and inviting you to come home and know who you are. Come home and know who you are. A new identity. A renewed identity. But before we do that, let me just share a little bit, if I may, of my story. You see, those words I read out have all impacted me at one time or another. I am an only child. Yes, we know we're special. And I had wonderful parents. Still do, Mum, if you're listening. And I'm so grateful for that unconditional love that was poured into me. Oliver, Joshua, your parents will do the same. I thrived in school, loved learning, received lots of praise. I was definitely enough. I felt shiny and successful. You know, I started writing a list of achievements and successes to share with you, but it would have gone on too long. I was humble too. Likeable. Married at 25, ordained at 26, the youngest vicar in the diocese at 29. The churches I was leading were starting to grow. But this shiny, lovable success didn't know how to deal with stress, with brokenness, and with failure. Long story short, those good bits of my identity I'd made my master. They had enslaved me, and I had to keep up with appearances. I had to keep shining, not let the side down, not let anyone in. When feelings of worthlessness, dirtiness, of not being enough crept up, maybe you know that feeling. I didn't know what to do with them, apart from push them down, ignore them, conceal them, keep smiling. I wasn't quite at feeding the pigs from our story today stage. I was too good at pretending. But like the younger son in our Bible story, I had to come to my senses. Or rather, God brought me face to face with reality and said, "Come home. Come home. Come back to the love that you've wandered away from. Come back and know and receive again who you are, child of God." It might be that that is the only word you need to hear today. You need to hear that invitation from God, come home, to lift your eyes from the mess that you're in. If that's you, just whisper to him, "I'm coming." Or even, "Help me come home." Because the amazing news is that our story today says, while the son was still a long way off, he'd not made it home. He'd not begun the journey. He just turned an inch. While the son was still a long way off, the father comes running to meet him. Just to be clear, friends, in case there's any doubt, the father in this story is God. The father is God. He's not an angry man with a stick wanting to beat you up for disowning him, running away, squandering the inheritance, or messing up life. He is looking, listening, and longing for you to come home. There's so much more we could explore in this story. If you ever feel like you've heard this too much, friends, you haven't lived it. But as we rest with this idea of identity and who you are today, I want you to notice five things the Father gives the Son. Five things in this story. Jesus is telling this story to people who didn't think they were worth anything, people like the Son. And to people who thought the Son wasn't worth anything, that one over there. There's an elder brother who appears later in the tale. But these five gifts are available for both groups of people, for all Jesus listeners, for all of us here today, even me again, even you. These five gifts can help shape our new identity, can help put those other badges in their rightful place. And they're a completely free gift for you and me today. So, what does the Son get? First of all, while the Son was still far off, the Father sees him. He runs to meet his Son in verse 20. He throws his arm around him and kisses him. Friends, the first gift the Son gets is love and affection. He gets embraced. He gets delighted in. He gets loved. He thought he'd get in a lot of trouble. Have you ever had to own up? He thought he'd have to make excuses. He thought he'd have to grovel and squirm, but the Father will not have it. Do you know the Father's love, his smile, his delight in you, his deep affection for you? He actually likes you so much. The first gift that can shape your identity, he loves you and has affection for you. Second, the Father gives the Son a robe. Slightly more contextual, this one. You see, it's not just any robe. It's not like the Father is ashamed. Look what he's come home in. Quick, let's cover him up. No, verse 22, it says, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. It might even have been the Father's own robe. Certainly one for a special occasion. And my kids love wearing items of Rachel or my wardrobe. Bits of jewelry find their way. A top hat was a favorite for a while. I'm sure clothes will go missing soon as they grow up. It makes them feel grown up, yes, but more importantly, it makes them feel connected to us. Do you realize that's what you were doing when you were stealing your sister's clothes? Makes you feel connected. The best robe meant the Son was restored and reconnected to the Father. You are mine, it says. Do you know that connection, that restoration deep in your identity? You are mine, God says. You are a child of his. So the Son, he gets love and affection. He gets connection and restoration. Thirdly, he gets a ring. Yeah. Now, if someone lets you down, if someone loses your trust, will you let them write the next check? Of course you don't. The leash is short, at least for a time. But by giving this Son this ring, it signified he carried the Father's authority and responsibility. The ring would have had the family mark. It was a signet ring. And it meant this Son, this child, could operate with the Father's authority and speak with his voice. What a gift. When you thought you'd let him down so much, you'd never be trusted again. Look what he gives you. Authority and purpose. Yeah. Love and affection, connection and restoration, authority and purpose. There's two more to go, but as we keep going, if there's one of these that sticks with you, hold on to it. Don't let it slide. Fourthly, the Son gets sandals. Now, in that culture, only the Father and the sons were able to wear sandals. The Son wanted to go back as a slave. He wanted to earn his way up in the family again. But this is the Father saying, as if there could be any doubt, he is back in. Yeah. Back in the family, in the WhatsApp group, in the photo, back in our futures. He is home. He has hope. Friends, when we come home, he gives us the family name, yeah, and all that belongs to a child of God, an heir again. You get belonging, you get hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The embrace, the robe, the ring, the sandals. Lastly, verse 23, he gets a feast, a calf, and a party. He gets celebrated publicly. You know, as Jesus was telling this story, at every stage, his hearers would have been gasping. This is unheard of. The son's incredulous shaming of the father, gasp. Feeding pigs, gasp. Stroke chuckle, that's what he deserved. The father's running, gasp. That's not the way important people did things. The robe, the ring, the sandals, that's not the way the world's supposed to work in the first century. Who are we kidding? It's not the way the world works now. We need to earn this all back, don't we? We need to work hard. We can't admit our mistakes or our failures. It had cost us too much. Got to keep on shining. It should cost us. It should cost them. But Jesus' story tells us the truth about God. Jesus, the storyteller, the author, would take the gasps and the shame and bear the cost so that the Father can lavish these gifts on you today. His journey through the cross and the grave to the resurrected and ascended life was so that the God who celebrates with Oliver and with Joshua, amazing and beautiful as they are, can and will celebrate you. Yes, you, the one here who is committing an affair but longs to stop. You, the one who is cheating on the finances at work. You, the one of us who is keeping up appearances. You, the one of us who is so jealous of brother or sister, but who all long to turn around just an inch. He's running to meet you, to give you a new identity and to celebrate you. And it's not just when we've done the wandering away. He celebrates the one of us in deepest grief, just clinging on. He celebrates the one wrestling with doubts and questions, the one who didn't really want to be here today but was dragged. The one who isn't here because life is too much right now. He celebrates you. And he stands here today with these gifts of love and affection, of connection and restoration, of authority and purpose, of belonging and hope, and says, take them to your identity. Just one will be enough today. Who are you, child of God? Receive. 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 You know, my story went through the time of pain and struggle and brought face to face with those badges of identity that I clung on to so much. And God said, I'm enough. And little by little, day by day, week by week, I continue to set those aside and put them in their right place. And friends, it's freeing. It's life-giving. It gives you a hope for the future when it feels like there is no way. Someone you can rely on and trust, who is here to welcome you home and remind you who you are in him. Would you please pray with me? It might just be that today is the day you want to say, I want to come home. Jesus. I'm going to say a prayer, and if you want to make it your prayer, just echo it in your heart and say amen at the end. Lord Jesus, there's so much I've done that I wished I hadn't. So much wandering away, so much hidden in secret. But I want to turn to you now, to receive your love and forgiveness, a new identity, a hope once again. Lord God, would you come rushing to meet me today and fill me with your Spirit for this new life ahead. Amen.
Stand again if you're able. I'm going to worship in response by singing the song Holy Forever.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all.
And the angels cry,
Holy, all creation cries,
song forever to the Lamb.
If you walk in freedom,
and if you walk in freedom, and if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever.
Your name stands above them all.
seated, and Nick is going to come and lead us.
Let's pray. Father, we bring to you first the brokenness of our country and our world. There are so many issues in our daily news at the moment for which our hearts cry out to you in prayer. We pray for the whole situation in the Middle East, Israel, Gaza, Yemen, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and throughout other countries in the region as well. Lord, we long for peace, and how the people there long for peace. And we pray for the leaders of those nations to have the good of the people they govern at heart, and to have a similar passion for peace. Similarly, we pray for the latest situation in the Ukraine-Russia war. Again, praying for peace and for the leaders not to be motivated by power and selfish ambition. Closer to home, we bring before you the whole issue of migrants crossing the channel in small boats, and the challenges for asylum seekers and refugees, and the criminal activity of people smugglers who exploit others for selfish gain. Lord, in all these situations, we long for justice and fairness. Help us to know how we can be a voice for those who don't have one. May we play our part and be salt and light in all these issues. Amen. And then we pray for our church family and all the various activities going on over these next few weeks. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the ways in which our church is active in bringing the good news of Jesus within our local community. Thank you for the opportunity over these next couple of weeks to be joining in the Thy Kingdom Come prayer initiative. And we pray that this will help strengthen us as a praying community of Christians. Give us an increasing desire to pray for those we live and work alongside. Thank you for the whole idea of engaging with our community through the summer of sport. And particularly pray for all the church groups involved in the fun run next Sunday. Help us to be able to serve our community well next weekend through this. We think of the Alpha follow-up group meeting on Tuesdays, for those leading it to have wisdom and discernment in asking and responding to the questions people bring. And similarly for the Parenting Children's Course, now running on Mondays. Lord, we pray for the support we can be giving to people bringing up children through these evening sessions. And then thank you for the opportunity of a men's breakfast on Saturday, and we pray for Charlie Fillingham as he speaks. Lord, help him to be able to show credibility and intrigue for Jesus through the words he says. And then we think of those in our on our notice sheet who are mentioned, who are ill at the moment. We remember Deb Dubar, Janet Stewart, Adrienne Curtis, and Alan Turner. And we pray also especially for Chris, Amelia, and Megan Jones following Ali Jones's funeral last Friday. Let's take a moment quietly to pray for these people and perhaps others known just to ourselves who are in need of our prayers at this time. A moment of quiet. We commend all these people to you in your name, Jesus. Amen. And then finally, we pray for ourselves this coming week. Lord, give us security that our true identity is in you. Give us that confidence that comes from that, and courage where we need in our daily lives, at work, in our homes, with family, in the mundane tasks, in the tough tasks, and the events we most look forward to this coming week. Again, let's keep a moment of silence to bring to God one event, task, or issue, or relationship that we will face this week. where we particularly need to remember the truth of our real identity and the freedom that comes from knowing that God loves us, or to have a fresh realization of the greatness of God who loves and cares for us. A moment of quiet as we bring to God one thing from the coming week. We bring all these prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. And then, as we have as our church, the prayer of living faith. Let's pray together the prayer that's on the screens, the living faith prayer. Lord God of mission, fill my life with your Spirit, that I may become more like Jesus. Make my life to shine with your light. May my heart be humble, my actions generous, and my words sensitive. Fill me with longing to share your good news, so that through all I do and all I am and with all I meet, may Jesus be known and his kingdom established. Amen.
It's my pleasure to have some bands of marriage to read. I don't know if Rio and Jordan are here. If you're here, give me a wave. No, okay. Well, this is for the first time of asking. And I published the banns of marriage between Jordan Rhett Tunnicliffe, who is single of St. Philip's Dorridge, and Rio Jane Bird, who is single also of St. Philip's Dorridge. This is the first time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why this couple may not marry, then you are to declare it at this point. Let's pray. Lord, we pray your blessing upon Jordan and Rio in their preparations. As the time comes really close to their wedding day, we ask that you'd encourage them and strengthen them, fill them with anticipation for their lifetime partnership together. And may they always know the resource of your presence with them, the power of your Spirit to give them hope in all that they will face, in their joys and delights as much in their challenges. I ask you to bless their wedding day. Amen. It's interesting, actually. Jordan is a professional footballer who plays for Wrexham, who got promoted this season. And he was telling me, and I was talking to him, that he said, well, in football, you're only as good as your last match. You're only as good as your last training session. And it's quite an insecure way to live, he was saying. So he would have been really interested in the identity. Today, I might send him your talk. Just a few notices. So I'm brandishing a leaflet with a couple of finely honed athletes on the front of it. And this is advertising our Knoll Summer of Sport. With the Euros and the Olympics coming up, we thought it would be quite fun to put on a programme of activities where we could invite friends to come and enjoy a range of sports together. Steve, can you put your fingers in your ears at this point, just for me? Thank you. Very good. So the vicar is recruiting for his cricket team against the associate vicar. If there's anybody here today who would love to play in a 2020 cricket match, Solihull School, Sunday the 9th of June, 2 o'clock, I've got three or four spaces in my team. And you don't have to be great, you know, just dust off the, get the tube grip out, get the Raljex out, a few stretches and you'll be fine. I'd love to speak to you. Have a word with me if you'd like to be in my team. Thank you very much. Take these away and see if you'd like to join in. Christian Aid Week is this week, and please be sending out that e-envelope to your networks and friends. It's a really easy way of raising money for this. And the Christian Aid plant sale at the weekend raised £1,000, which was amazing. So big thanks to Rosemary, who puts a lot of work into getting that ready. Knoll Fun Run's coming up next week. Somebody was asking me, how do we know which roads are shut? And the answer, one of the answers is, Alan, go to one stop, and in the window, apparently there's a picture of all the roads that are closed. Other than that, you go on the council website, and apparently it's up there. So if you're worried about that. But next week is Pentecost Sunday, and so there will be just the one service. Please do come, and then stay afterwards to support the intrepid runners. We hope it's not going to be too hot for them. So we're on to our last hymn and then final prayer of blessing. Please stand again for Before the Throne of God Above.
Before the throne.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart.
When Satan tempts,
when Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. Just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me.
Behold him there.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
I bow before.
I bow before the cross of Christ and marvel at this love divine. God's perfect Son was sacrificed to make me righteous in God's eyes. The river's depths I cannot know, but I can glory.
Thank you for the opportunity to live in response to your generous love and provision for us. And therefore, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you, and we pray your blessing on these gifts as we seek to extend your love and to see your kingdom come here in Knowle and wider across this city and beyond. Amen.
Amen.
Just for the final prayer of blessing, the prayer ministry team are over here in St. John's Chapel. If anybody needs prayer for anything, please do come and make use of them. They'd be delighted to pray with you. And so go gently, live well, and be a blessing to all you meet, trusting that God's heart is big enough to love, strengthen, and embrace you day by day. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each of you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please do stay for refreshments, which, because it's sunny and dry, will be out in the courtyard outside. It'd be lovely to get to know you. Please do join us for those.